The famous hanging gardens described by Greek authors are attributed to Nebuchadnezzar. No Babylonian source for these gardens has been identified, nor is there any archaeological evidence that confirms the presence of this miraculous paradise that Herodotus described. We can't reconstruct their appearance with any certainty, but they were supposed to have been built to remind Nebuchadnezzar's wife, Amid, of the lush mountainous region of her homeland. The first century BC Greek geographer Strabo described them as being gardens set on vaulted terraces and watered with an artificial watering system. Diodorus, his near contemporary, explained that the Babylonians created a lead and reed cover over the walls to prevent the watering system from eroding the mud brick walls of Babylon. So this is an interesting engineering detail that employs both aspects, both of the most noticeable aspects of Babylon. In general, Greek authors were fascinated by engineering projects, and they readily believed that a wealthy Eastern ruler would and could create such a miraculous setting simply for his wife's pleasure. The two cultures that we've discussed in this lecture, the Medes, whom we know about primarily through other cultures and from the ripple effect of their military success, and also from some archaeological evidence, although this is not from the period of their dominance, we learn about these cultures best from their effects on other lands. Nebuchadnezzar, among his other projects, built two walls that are called the Median Walls by later sources. These connected the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. These walls served two purposes, as an additional defense, and also to help create an artificial lake. So we have a return to the idea of the king as providing water. We are much better informed about the Neo-Babylonian era than about the Medes. Nebuchadnezzar's reign was enormously successful. It was stable, and he had very few campaigns during the last decade of his rule. At this time, he focused his attention primarily on the construction and the restoration of Babylon. If we look a little bit further ahead, in the late 1980s, Saddam Hussein began to build a replica of Nebuchadnezzar's palace. He became fascinated by this Babylonian king. Since there was very little evidence for the original appearance of Nebuchadnezzar's palace, the engineers who were building this particular palace for Saddam Hussein didn't really have a good idea about what to go on. But Saddam Hussein became fascinated with the idea of Nebuchadnezzar's inscriptions on the bricks used for the construction of his buildings. And he, too, wanted bricks stamped with his name. Saddam Hussein also built one of his presidential palaces on a hill near Babylon. And he created an artificial mound, a tell, and built one of his residences there. This is one of the projects that links him most explicitly with Iraq's ancient culture, and it is probably because of Nebuchadnezzar's destruction of Jerusalem that he was the one king from antiquity, the antiquity of Iran, of Iraq, that Saddam Hussein wanted to emulate. In the next lecture, we will see the fall of this state after the rule of an unusual king of Babylon, a man named Nabonidus, who was put on the throne after a conspiracy. Nabonidus abandoned this newly built Babylon and transferred the capital to an oasis in the desert. The priests of Marduk, and likely many secular officials in Babylon as well, probably welcomed the presence of the conqueror Cyrus, king of Persia, who had defeated the Medes and would capture Babylon.